Welcome to Island Baptist Church's Bible Study in the Acts of Jesus, Lesson 3.
Good afternoon, or good morning, or good evening, or whatever happens to be where you are as you're picking up with us here in our midweek Bible study. I'd like to welcome you to Island Baptist Church, and we have been joining together once a week and looking at the book of Acts, which has been a great study, and we're going to continue with that study, except for one little hiatus we're going to be taking today. And the reason for that is because I'm continually being asked the question, because people think I know somehow, and I guess I should know, and we'll find that out today. But I'm continually asking the question of something to this effect: is this the end? Is this the end times? And I thought it would be a good idea to, like I said, take a little hiatus from our study there in the book of Acts, since this is a pertinent question considering our global situation, and see what the Bible has to say about this. Again, when they ask me, they're asking me my opinion and the thought I have in the back of my head, which you've heard me say if you've been to our church, is who cares what I think? Who cares what you think? All we should be caring about is what God thinks. And so what does God have to say on our subject? And in fact, we're going to find out He does speak very clearly on our situation, and lines things out very well for us. And so we're going to be jumping into that here in just a second, but I wanted to ask you to join me in prayer of all the things that we can do together. So important that we pray together. And so let's just pray together. Let's lift our hearts to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do lift our hearts to You. We thank You, God, that You are sovereign and that You are holding the whole world in Your hands. And we're asking for mercy and grace, God. We know that You're not treating us according to our sins. You're not treating us according to our deeds. You're treating, even in the midst of a global pandemic, You're still treating us with kindness and mercy and grace. And so, God, when we come to You and ask for more mercy and more grace, we know, God, we're just dependent upon Your nature and not ours and not anything that we've earned. And so, based upon who You are, God, and Your great love, Your great patience, Your great kindness and mercy, we are asking for those things, Lord. Your mercy and grace upon this world. Your soon removal of this disease, Your protection for those who have it, the quick healing for those, wisdom for doctors, protection for doctors, nurses, health caregivers, wisdom for our leaders, a quick end to this. God, I pray that You would guide us through Your Holy Spirit into Your Word. Help us to hear it and take it to heart now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So is this the end? Is this the end times? Well, the answer to that question from the Bible is actually, well, seemingly confusing. The answer to that question is yes and no. And like I said, that may be a confusing answer, but it actually is an accurate answer based upon what the Scripture teaches us. Yes, it is the end times, because we've been in the end times, as we're going to see in just a second, for a very, very long time. I want you to look with me here. It's going to be on your screen at Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2. And I'll get you there. A little bit of, oh boy. So sorry. Hang on. That's not it. That is it. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Got some new technology here, just a little bit of snafus happening there, but trying my best, even though filming here at my house, to get these words up on the screen like you would have if we were doing it in the church auditorium. And I so much want you to be involved in the Scriptures. I want you to see them for yourself. I don't want you to just to read them. At the same time, I like to kind of plow ahead, and I move through a lot of Scriptures if you know me, because we got to have a lot of Scriptures. There's a lot to consider here. We need to take in the whole breadth of the Bible as much as possible. But I move through them pretty fast, so I'm not going to wait for you to look them up. So I'm going to be putting them on the screen there for you. And of course, the notes are going to be published. They're going to be there on our Facebook page. I believe we're also putting them now, if I'm correct, on our YouTube page. I know some of you are having a hard time downloading those. I believe if you'll right click on them, it'll allow you to save them as a PDF. And then from a PDF, I believe you're able to print them. That might be a little more than some of you are used to doing. And we do have IT help. In fact, one particular person, his name is Chuck Tolan. And if you can get a hold of Chuck, he is He is happy to help. I know that for sure. He may get a flood of things, and you're eventually going to figure this out. And probably by the time we're back together, you'll just about have it straightened out. So, but for now, I know some of you that notes mean a lot to you, and so I want to make sure you get those notes. But again, those verses are going to be there in front of you. You can repeat this. This is going to be saved. This is not live streamed, so you'll be able to have that there. You go back over these verses. So first of all, let's consider the answer yes. Is this the end times? Yes. Yes, it is. Consider what this says. Now, of course, Isaiah 61, if you've been with us together in our study on Sunday mornings in the book of Luke, we were there in Luke chapter 4 beginning. The first part, or the halfway down, I'm sorry, chapter 4 is where Jesus goes to his own hometown. And he announces his ministry there in his own personal synagogue, the synagogue he grew up in, among the men that he worshiped with and learned the Bible with together as a young man growing up there in Nazareth. And he, when he announced the inauguration of his ministry, he went straight to this passage, Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And yet, if you'll remember, as we studied together, he leaves off part of this. And so let's see what Jesus said as he referred to himself in his first coming in his ministry. He says this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." That's part of his first coming. That's what's happening right now. "He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." These are all elements of the ministry of Jesus that he came to work. It's all elements that he's charged us to do as a church, as we reach people, as we're teaching people. So I want you to notice, though, if you'll remember our study, Jesus stops right there with the word favor. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Notice there's no punctuation. There's only a conjunctive word, and, that stands between Jesus' first coming and, notice, Jesus' second coming. And his second coming is explained there in the remainder of that sentence. It says, "and the day of the vengeance of our God." Now, Jesus didn't read that. He didn't read that because that's not what he had come to do. Jesus had come to do the first part. Now, understand, Jesus is coming to do the rest of that sentence. He's coming. And so we're between the word favor and the word "the," if you see it right there. And what is the word in between there? It's the word "and." We're in a conjunction period. We're in a period that the Bible in the Old Testament almost says nothing about. So in some ways, technically speaking, these are all the last days. This could be the last one, because the Bible doesn't prophesy any of these days being here whatsoever. It just simply runs in the Old Testament, it runs the first coming of Jesus with the second coming of Jesus. It's like they're back to back. Like he's going to be doing both the proclaiming the favorable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. Of course, we know it's been 2,000 years since he started the favorable year of the Lord. It's been a lot longer than a year. And of course, he knew that and meant that when he said it. But, and so we're in this undisclosed, for lack of a better term, and forgive this because I can't think of anything else, this limbo period where things are happening, and he's just extending again. The delay of God bringing about his vengeance is forgiveness. It's salvation. He's trying to reach people. He loves people. He wants them to hear the gospel. He wants to be released as captives. He wants the brokenhearted to be bound up. He wants the proclaim good news to the poor. He wants these things. He wants as many people. He's not out for judgment. He is going to judge. He is coming to do the rest of that sentence, but not yet. And so in some ways, like I said, since these days were not prophesied, these are all the last days. They are all. Is this the last days? Yes, it definitely is the last days. But I know that is, in some ways, a deflecting answer, because you probably ask it with the whole COVID-19, of course, and that's most of the time I'm getting that question. You ask that question with this whole COVID-19 pandemic in view. Is this the, maybe put it more specifically, is this the last of the last days? It is the last days, yes. Is it the last of the last days? The answer is definitely no. Definitely no. And again, it's not my opinion. It's exactly what the scripture teaches. We're going to see the scripture speaks very clearly about plagues and pestilence and things like that, and how they play into the last times. And so let's consider what the scripture has to say about these things. Let's go and see why it isn't, according to the Bible, the last of the last days, and what the Bible has to teach us about these last of the last days. The first place we're going to go for that is in Daniel chapter 2, verses 40 through 41. Now, if you were with us a couple of years ago, in fact, in 2018, you're going to see a full handling of this. You can go to our website, or you can go to our YouTube page, and you'll see the recording of my teachings there on the book of Daniel in 2018. I believe it was the summer of 2018. This particular sermon I dealt with, this was in June. The sermon was entitled The Sweep of History. And in that, so I'm not going to be spending all the time that I spent on that sermon. We got to get to just make a specific point here. But taking in an extract, if you will, from that such a long chapter in Daniel 2 and so full of information, I would refer you to full handling of that, like I said, back to that title, Sweep of History, back in the study of Daniel in 2018. And so if you'll recall that, though, if you recall chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar is given a dream. And in that dream, he sees this statue. The statues are made of four different kinds of metal, and the feet are mixed with both iron and clay. So not just metal, but also out of stuff made of dirt. And so he goes all the way down through these metals, and the last metal, the one that the legs and the feet are made out of, is the one he's referring to here in Daniel chapter 2. It's the final kingdom. There's only four, I should say. There is actually five. The fifth kingdom is the kingdom of Jesus. It's the kingdom that he returns and he reigns, and where he answers the prayer that says, Lord, let thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is an answer to that prayer. That answer is coming. That fourth and that fifth and final kingdom is coming. But the fourth human kingdom is this kingdom of iron. And we know it to be the kingdom of Rome. And let's look what Daniel has to say about it, then give a few commentary remarks about it. Daniel 2, 40 through 41, and says, then there will be a fourth kingdom as strong as iron. Inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things, so like iron that breaks in pieces, it will crush and break all these. The previous three kingdoms were destroyed by the Romans. And they held their kingdom much longer than the others. And in fact, they were never taken over. They just basically dissolved into their respective parts. Let's keep reading. And that you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay, and partly, like I said, there's going to be a mixture in this somehow or another. Partly of iron, it will be a divided kingdom. So you have two legs, right? The statue is two arms, one chest, one belly, two legs. These two legs are made out of iron. There was also two legs of the Roman kingdom, an East Rome and a West Rome. One was called Rome and the other one was called Byzantium, but they were both Rome. They were both ruled by emperors and Caesars. And in fact, the Eastern kingdom, the Byzantium kingdom, outlasted the Roman kingdom for a better part of 400 years. You know, like I said, Rome was dissolved into its respective parts, dissolved back into what we know today as Turkey and as Eastern and Western Europe and parts of Russia, North Africa, the Middle East. All these things were originally Rome, and they've now dissolved and been dissolved, but Rome hasn't ceased to exist. We're Roman by descent. We're the West is Roman in its thought, Roman in the way it does things. And Rome is going to reconstitute, and that's going to be so important. How do we know it's the last of the last days? We're going to see a reconstitution of this Roman kingdom. Daniel tells us exactly what this is going to look like, and he tells us this as he interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Let's keep reading here. Daniel 2, verse 44. In the days of those kings, what kings is he talking about? Well, he expects to understand. So you've got a statue. It's got a head, right? It's got shoulders. It's got arms. It's got thorax. It's got two legs. How many feet? 2 feet. How many toes? 10. That's these kings. He's expecting, we know, that there's going to be 10 kings. Now, he doesn't come out and say that, but it's going to be made clear in the next big prophecy that Daniel brings to us. We're going to be reading that in just a second over in Daniel chapter 7. But no, let's read what it says. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. So when is the end? In the days of 10 kings. Says nothing about pestilence. Says nothing about plague. I'm not saying there's not pestilence and plague involved in it, because there certainly is. Read the book of Revelation. But they're not the key indicators. The key indicators, listen guys, are these 10 kings. Listen to what this says. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. That's when Jesus is coming. That's the last of the last days. And that kingdom, Jesus, the one that Jesus brings, will not be left to another people. It will crush and put to an end all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. And so we have these 10 kings, these 10 toes. So understand, plagues play a part in the second, in the end times, but not a major part. They are not a major indicator, not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. They are an indicator of God doing something, but they're not an indicator of the last days, which is the question that we're trying to answer here together. Is this the last days? Well, plague's not an indicator of that. Pestilence, pandemics, they're bad. Are they from God? The answer is yes. Nothing happens apart from God's. He allowed it. He allowed it. Why did he allow it? You need to ask him that. We need to ask him that. I think that's an important question to ask. But it doesn't mean that this is the end of the end, the last of the last days. When we see these 10 kings and plagues, then you got something. Then you do. Daniel gives us even more details about the last of the last days, like I referred to it in Daniel chapter 7. Take a look at what it says here. Now, of course, you had a statue with four metals. In Daniel chapter 7, you have four different beasts. They both refer to the four same kingdoms. Four kingdoms ending in the last kingdom, which is the Roman kingdom, which is symbolized by this iron. Notice what it refers to, in this case, an animal, a beast, as opposed to a metal. It says here, behold, a fourth beast, just like this fourth metal made out of iron. This fourth beast is also characterized by iron. In both cases, it's Rome. In both cases, the final kingdom is Rome. We're living in the days of the Roman kingdom, and we're looking for the reconstitution of it, as we saw in Daniel 2, under 10 kings. It's going to say the same thing here, except it's not going to refer to them as toes. It's going to call them horns. Watch. Behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying, extremely strong, and it had large iron. There's that symbol, that metal again. Large iron teeth that devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, the other three kingdoms. The same thing that it said back there in the other dream that Daniel was interpreting. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So the statue had 10 toes. This beast has 10 horns. They refer to the same thing, except here in Daniel 7, it's going to give us even to more detail. So we're waiting for the days of the reconstitution of Rome. We're waiting for the rise of these 10 kings who are going to reign over Rome. And we're waiting, listen, until that number, the 10 kings, is diminished to 7. Notice, again, as we keep reading there in Daniel 7, verse 8, while I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one. I don't mistake his size for his lack of power, because he doesn't lack it. He's got the most power maybe of any human being ever lived, apart from Jesus, of course. Another horn, a little one, came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled up by the roots. What are these horns? They're 10 kings. So he's removing three kings and replacing himself as the seventh. Or pulled up by the roots before it, and behold, this horn possessed. It's going to describe, this is more detail. How do we know it's the last of the last days? When you have 10 kings that are diminished to 7, and that seventh one is described like this. He possessed eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth uttering great boast. This is the guy that we know of as the Antichrist. Both Old and New Testament tell us that we need to be looking for kings, and among those kings, this one that we know as the Antichrist. That's when you see them, and especially when you see him, that's the last of the last days. Again, the New Testament makes this even more clear and goes on to elaborate the teachings of the New Testament. Consider what it says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now, this is great words here for us, by the way, in general, about worrying about it, being fearful of this being the last days. Notice what Paul says to the Thessalonican church. He says, now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed. Wow. That's a word to us. Do not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed. We're going to see in just a minute. I'm going to challenge you to memorize a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so important. It says, keep your head in every situation. That includes this one. This world needs to see people who can keep their head, who know the Lord and who know where they stand and who know that there is no reason to fear. Even if this was the last days, we know the God that holds it all and we trust him. But it's not those days. That you not be quickly, keep reading, quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Don't be shaken from this. He says, let no one in any way deceive you, for it, mark it carefully, will not come unless the apostasy comes first. In other words, it's falling away. And the one who brings it, notice, the apostate himself, the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Same thing it said in the Old Testament. So 10 kings, it doesn't mention 10 kings here, but it says there's one certain king that's coming, calls him here the son of destruction, calls him there this little horn with this loud mouth. The man of lawlessness, the one who brings apostasy, this falling away, he's the indicator. Watch for him. Nothing else. He's the first thing. So all the other things, yes, there's going to be plagues. We're going to see that. And it's going to be it is a part of the end times, but it's not the indicator that it's the last of the last days. Revelation holds the exact same timeline. Take a look at what it says here, Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals. So chapter 5 is this throne room imagery of the Father sitting on the throne and the Lamb of God, as if he had been slain, coming before the throne and taking from the hands of the Father this seven-sealed scroll. And as he breaks these seals, judgments begin to come forth. The first seal broken. How do we know that God is beginning his last day's judgment? People say, oh, well, this pandemic, this COVID-19 is God's last day's judgment. And I would say, very clearly from the scriptures, no, it's not. No, it's definitely not. Now, could it be a part of those last days? Yes, if we had an Antichrist. But we don't have it. Well, he's out there somewhere. Listen, it's going to make it very clear. It says it very clearly. You're going to know who he is. You're going to know what he is. We even get and given a number of his name. We're going to be able to very specifically, or those that are, I don't plan on being here, I don't know about you. But those that are going to be here, they'll very specifically be able to identify who this dude is. And so, no, it's definitely not the last of the last days because of this COVID-19, because you're looking for this guy. I saw when, let's read, when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, the first one. So this is the first indicator, the first sign of the last days, the last of the last days. Here it is. I heard one of the four living creatures saying as with a voice of thunder, come. I looked and behold a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow. Now it almost looks like Jesus, but it's not. It's a fake Jesus. We know him as the Antichrist. Notice he's got a bow, but he's got no arrows. And when you see this, this indicates the bow. The word bow in Hebrew is very similar to the word covenant. So he's coming with this special covenant to make. And if you remember, we didn't read Daniel 9 there, but it also says there, he will make a covenant with the many for 7 years. And this is this covenant maker, this seemingly world peace bringer. Of course, he's not going to bring anything. He's going to bring anything but peace. He's going to bring destruction. But he's going to come like a Messiah. And that's what he is. He's in place. That's what the word anti means, in place of Christ. So he comes, it says, him who sat on this white horse, and a crown was given to him. It looks like Jesus. And he went out conquering to conquer. Now, it's not Jesus. He's bringing destruction and death. Now, so he's the indicator, both Old and New Testament. It's this Antichrist, ultimately, we're looking for. We're looking for 10 kings. We're looking for these 10 kings to be diminished to 7. And then we're looking for among these 7, one to arise called the son of destruction, the man of lawlessness, the horn with the big mouth, this king seemingly that rides this white horse with this covenant in his hand. He's nothing but lies. He's nothing but falsehood. He's nothing but the ultimate move of the devil to plunge this world into what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. That's the guy we're looking out for. That's the beginning of the major judgments of God. And one of the later seals definitely does have, I will say, have plagues and pestilence in it. But it's one of the later ones. It's the fourth one, not the first one. So how can we have the fourth before the first. It doesn't make any sense. So there's no way we can say that this pandemic is part of the last days. Biblically, you can't say it. Revelation 6, 7, 8 says, when the Lamb broke the fourth seal. So we got the first seal, which is the Antichrist. Second seal is war. Third seal is famine. Fourth seal, among other things, has this pestilence. Watch. I heard the voice of the four living creatures saying, come, and I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name of death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth. Now, that's a bunch of people. We're, what, 7 billion right now? We see during this COVID-19 crisis, and it definitely is crisis, and lots of people are dying. It's very sad, and it's very heartbreaking, but nothing compared to the last of the last days. Not even a half a percentage point of all. If the worst case scenario of this COVID-19 took place, will it be any, even a half a percentage point of what's going to be happening in these last of the last days? One quarter, notice, of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with pestilence. The only time it's mentioned, there it is right there. Is there going to be pestilence in the last days? Yes. One of many things and not the first indicator. With famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. One quarter of the world. Billions of people. Literally. Billions. If it happened today. Billions of people. So nothing like what you're looking at today. Nothing at all. Is this a bad time? Certainly it is. No doubt. Strange and weird and odd. And we all need to be asking the question of what is God saying to us? What is he trying to communicate both to us and our world? And we need to go to him and ask those questions. And he will answer those questions. But for now, we need to understand this is not the last of the last days. Now, Jesus sums up for us our current situation and what we need to be doing when he spoke about the end times in Matthew chapter 24. Take a look at what that says. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name. This is the whole Antichrist thing. Saying, I'm the Christ. And will mislead many, and you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. And we've been there. We've seen this. We've known people. People have come through, and they're continuing to come through, claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be king, and they're starting these new religions and cults and all kinds of stuff. It's happening. Wars and rumors of wars happening already. These things are already going on. See that you're not frightened. Here you get the same thing. Don't let yourself be disturbed. See to it that you are not frightened. How are you doing with that? Your king tells you, see to it that you not be frightened. For those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. Hello? Hello? Hope you're listening. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Notice no mention of pestilence. He's not saying there isn't. He's saying it's not the signs to look for. Everywhere you go. Pestilence isn't the signs to look for. It's just not. It's just not. Famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places, right? But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. They just started having a little labor, no big deal. False signs, if you will. The real signs, they're coming, but they're not here yet. Notice, So plagues and disease don't even make the list of the beginning of birth pains here, though, in Matthew 24, do they? They don't. But of these that do make the list, he says, see that you're not frightened. See that you're not. And so that's a word from God to you. See that you're not. Stop it. Does that help? He can help you with that. Go to him with that. Go to him if you're disturbed, if you're frightened, if your heart quakes in this times. And I would say, it's natural. It is. But our king says, don't let it happen. And how do we do that? We go to him. See to it. So what are we supposed to be doing as a church? What are Christians supposed to be doing? This is not the last of the last. It's the last days, but it's not the last of the last days. What are we supposed to be doing? The same thing we've always been doing. Business as usual, believers. Listen to me. What is that? Reaching, preaching, serving, sacrificing. For the sake of our King and the commission that he's given to us. And I want to conclude right now with the verse that I said I wanted us to memorize together in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. And it's not listed that way on your screen. It is listed that way, chapter 4, verse 2. It should be chapter 4, verse 5. chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Once I got this thing loaded, I didn't know how to go in and edit it, and it was a lot of trouble. And so I just left it up there. I did see it there, so I'll put it up there knowing what I was doing, even though I didn't know what I was doing when I did it. So, but let's look at this verse. Look how good this is. 2 Timothy 4, 2. For our days. What kind of person am I supposed to be today? Look what this says. But you keep your head in all situations. How you doing? How's it coming? God, through His Spirit, can enable you to do that. Keep your head. This is what the world's looking for. This is what the Savior wants from us, and this is what the world needs from us. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Here we are. Do the work of an evangelist. Yep, you got your marching orders. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is our call. This is our place. Is the last days? Yes. Is the last of the last days? Nope. It's business as usual. So let's get down to business. God bless you. Hang in there. We're going to make it. God is using us. God is making big headways into people's lives. I've seen lots of evidence of it. And so we're praising Him for it, and we're trying our best to be a part of it and not get in the way of it wherever it's happening. So God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptist.org.